Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Winnipeg Free Press, Calgary Herald, Montreal Gazette, Globe and Mail. Jeff Blair has written for all four. And if you can survive the world of newspapers, you can survive anything. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
You know, as tough as it's been to watch the Raptors recently, put yourself in the shoes of Dwayne Casey, a guy who has made his mark by coaching teams to be defensively responsible. You know, I think back to conversations some of us had with Dwayne Casey, I want to say 2 years ago, when he talked about the need to regain a balance between defense and offense. He admitted at the time, erred a little too much on the side of opening up the game at the expense of playing the type of defense that had earned the Raptors high praise from opponents. And I'm thinking in particular of Roy Hibbert. I can remember Roy Hibbert telling a bunch of us after a game at the Air Canada Centre just about how physically and mentally demanding it was to play against the Raptors because of their defense. Now, look, there are people who will tell you that defense is a mindset more than anything else, that it depends on a willingness to sacrifice and commit, etc., etc. But I've always believed it is also the most coachable aspect of any sport. Offense is mostly composed of a degree of various natural skills. Defense requires adherence, studiousness, and athleticism. So I have to think watching his team tumble to the depths of the league's defensive rankings is particularly disturbing to Dwayne Casey. Can he turn it around? Is there enough time to address issues that seem to repeat themselves? Well, let's ask the man himself. Dwayne Casey joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Dwayne, thanks a lot for doing this. I'll ask you the same question I asked Leo Routens. We watch his team play and we realize that there are some defensive issues. Can you get this corrected in time for the playoffs?
Well, you know, that's something that we work on every day. And I also disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
Jeff, as far as it's the easiest thing to coach in the league, I think it's become one of the toughest things because I think our league is overall is an offensive-minded league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the key point is a guy getting down, doing the necessary dirty work that it takes to play, be a defensive-minded team. I think, you know, the guys are rewarded for their offensive prowess and the numbers they put up offensively. So that's the difference, I think, the one thing that I think that you fight constantly of selling the defensive end of the floor to players, especially offensive-minded players. But I think that's something that I think the whole league is looking at. Look at our game last night, and there wasn't a lot of defense on either side. I think they clamped down in the fourth quarter on us a little bit, but throughout the game, I think we were scoring easily, easily than we normally had against the Chicago team. So I think it's throughout the league a little bit. I have to look at all the numbers to see that, but I think it's the league is becoming more offensive minded.
How much of that, Dwayne, do you think comes from the fact that you hear a lot of talk now about 3-and-D or D and 3? You know, it's not so much get the ball to the big man. It's more of free flowing is the right word, but there's more guard play, there's more wing play. Does that make it a little harder to teach defense because you're not sort of bogging everything down in the middle and turning it into a wrestling match in the middle anymore, are you?
No question. And that's the harder thing. That's why it makes defense harder right now than it used to be. You could body guys up. You could impede their progress as far as not letting them cut through the lane, getting their path, and be more physical. Now you have to gauge the speed to move your feet to get there before they do, to kind of run with them and anticipate a little bit more than you used to. You could make up from the lack of foot speed by hand checking, forearm checking, and that type of thing. And especially once the ball went inside, you really could lock in and load in. But now with the, like you said, the three ball more so is prevalent, either the three ball or getting to the rim. And the game has come to that more so than anything else. And but again, there's no excuse not to
right.
not to think defense and coach defense and teach defense. And that's something we work on each and every day. We talk about defense more and work on it more than our offense, to be honest with you. And again, it's a mindset. It's a commitment that you got to have to that end of the floor.
Dwayne, is there a I mean, you've tried almost every combination imaginable. I mean, we've seen it all year. So it's some of it's been forced on you because of injury. Some of it's been the strategic decision. Is there a combination that you think is right now your best defensive combination? I mean, if we were in a, you know, we're going in the last 2 minutes of a game right now. Do you have five guys that you absolutely can say, these are my five? These are the guys that are going to lock down the game for me.
And again, you know, a matchups determine so much of that, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a team is going small, and that's what we get so much grief about not having Valanciunas in the game in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it's tough to put that young man in the situation if they're playing a center who's out on the floor. And it goes back to our first initial conversation. When they spread the floor on you and they have a shooting big or a guy that's floating around the top of the key, moving around, and a mobile big that is an outside shooter, is very difficult to have Jonas in. Now, there's going to be come a time in his career that he can get out there and learn how to play those guys on the perimeter. But right now, Amir Johnson is better suited to guarding those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the dilemma we're in. If it's a big guy that he can match up with, that we can go to get, like against Detroit, Drummond was in there and when Jonas was fresh, he could match up with him, throughout the game. And so it depends on matchups as far as at the center position, and some would be at the wing position if we have to go with four smalls. So it varies with us because of skill set of certain players and size and strength and speed and quickness of certain players.
Dwayne, did we maybe, and when I say we, I'm talking about media fans and maybe even players, did we get ahead of ourselves with this team a little bit? Did we get carried away with that record?
Well, you know, and Masai and I both have been preaching all year and came in. I know I did at the beginning of the year about how this was going to be a process. Mm-hmm. We're a growing team. We're starting two young players. And it was going to take time. And, again, we really jumped out of the gate quick. And did an excellent job. I thought we started out the season being an excellent defensive team. DeMar went down, so we kind of lost our experienced team concept defender. And that's when we went to more of an offensive-minded, up-and-down team trying to find those points for his position. So we kind of lost that anchor, that compass defensively when DeMar went down for those 22 or 20, how many games he went down. So I think that's when our team changed a little bit. We had some success playing that way, which was kind of fool's gold because, as you know, and I've always preached, you've got to be a defensive-minded team,
mm-hmm.
more so than an offensive-minded team. So we lost a little bit of our compass there. But, again, at that time, we still were winning, playing that way. And I was preaching at that time, you know, okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's be patient. It's a process. And it is. We still are a growing team. We're in a tough stretch right now, but again, I can see the improvement in certain areas with players, certain concepts that guys are picking up on, and then some guys are making mistakes in there. So it's growing pains on both sides of the basketball.
Dwayne, what is your read on Kyle Lowry's status on his health right now?
Well, you know, it's one of caution. You know, Kyle wanted to come back the other night against Detroit, and all the medical people said he was okay to come back, and they got a special pad for his back that was going to protect it. So, you know, then it tweaked in another area of his back. So, you know, our thing right now is to be cautious, let him get totally healthy before he tries to come back. You know, because we're going to need him in the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of an understatement, but we're going to need him down the stretch and in the playoffs. Hopefully he can come back to get a couple of games under his belt for conditioning and timing and rhythm before he goes into the playoffs. So, but again, it's going to be one of caution. The medical people in Kyle's body will let him know when he's ready to come back. But, you know, he may be out for a little while.
Dwayne, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about last night's opponents, the Chicago Bulls. I mean, this is one of the more intriguing teams in the East, and I know their team, everybody, the Raptors organization has a lot of respect for. But how are they getting it done, considering the fact that they've been without Derrick Rose for a while? When I looked at this team at the start of the year, I thought they were quite capable of winning the East, but I thought they were capable of winning the East with Derrick Rose playing every night. Yet they're still a force, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And again, one thing that I think is kind of lost is the fact that, you know, Gasol has been there. Gasol has been a winner, an all-star, probably a Hall of Famer someday. And he kind of gives them an experience. Heinrich is old. Mm-hmm. Old head that's been there. Butler had played great basketball, and even with Rose out until he got hurt, and then he kind of hit a wall. So they've had some great performances from some very good players. The kid Meritich has really been he was a fine for him. I think he was a pleasant surprise. Well, I don't think anybody expected him to come out of the chute as a young kid. Who played a lot of basketball over in Europe and play the basketball he's played. I tell you what, he's making moves now that Dirk Nowitzki makes, the step back one-legged, he shoots the three, he's putting it on the floor now. So he's been a pleasant surprise for them. And also Aaron Brooks, another point guard type that, like with DJ Augustine and those guys going there, he's kind of been a good fit that spreads the floor. But they're doing it more with the offense now than their defense. And I think that's, I think if you listen to Tibbs, he's saying the same thing I am, that he's emphasizing defense and doing that. But at the end of the day, they're putting up a lot of points from a lot of different positions. But they're still, they're a talented team, and they're a team that you kind of measure yourself with in our conference just because of how tough they are, how hard they play. But again, I think they're more on the offensive side now as well, as anything else.
Dwayne, it was great of you to join us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's Dwayne Casey. He is head coach of the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors have the LA Lakers in town on Friday night. And our next Raptors game is Wednesday. Our next game, being Sportsnet 590 The Fan, is Wednesday at 8 p.m. The Raptors against the Minnesota Timberwolves in Minnesota. A return visit to Andrew Wiggins after Wiggins' visit here to Toronto. And that game will be at 8 p.m. Eastern with Eric Smith and Paul Jones. We'll have hockey tonight. The Florida Panthers playing the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Leafs Nation pregame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne is at 7 o'clock. Puck drop is just after 7:30. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph will have the call of the game, as always. And our Leafs Nation postgame with Stellick and Osborne can be heard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan immediately after the game. 10:40, by the way, Lyndon Byers, one of our real favorites, co-host of the Hillman Morning Show on WAAF 97.7, 107.3 in Boston. Lyndon Byers will join us. We'll talk about the Bruins. They are struggling. It's been an odd year for this team. They seemed, I'm going to borrow a Dwayne Casey phrase that I love, they seemed to have regained, or they seemed at one point to have regained their compass and seemed to be moving back into a playoff spot. But they're 0-3-2 in their last five games. That includes a shootout loss to Buffalo. They play the Anaheim Ducks tonight. And they're a point back of Ottawa, who also have a game in hand. The Ottawa Senators. We spend so much time in this city focusing on the Leafs. If you take a look around the NHL at the Canadian NHL teams, it's been a pretty good year for Canadian NHL teams. Calgary, of course, Montreal's been lights out a lot of the year. Carey Price has been lights out a lot of the year. Vancouver looks like they've gotten their act together. The Ottawa Senators, who saw that coming? And the Calgary Flames have been one of the real good stories in the NHL. Renaud Lavoie is our NHL insider in TVA Sports. You can follow him at Ren Lavoie, TVA. Ren Lavoie joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ren, thanks a lot for doing this. I was pointing out, as I look around, other than Toronto and to a certain degree Edmonton, although I think a lot of us would say that Edmonton looks a lot better under Todd Nelson, it's been a pretty good year for Canadian NHL teams, hasn't it?
Yeah, totally right. But I think the biggest surprise, and you just mentioned it, is Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually right now at the Ottawa Senators morning skate because I wanted to do a story on them and on the Rangers for tonight. And I was thinking to myself, listen, at the trading deadline, that team was close to make major trades.
Mm-hmm.
Close. Days away. If obviously they didn't find that goaltender was playing in the AHL for them and was didn't have a winning record, by the way. So if there was no injuries goaltending-wise, maybe Chris Phillips would have been traded. I know he's injured right now, but maybe other players on that team would have been traded, and it would have been maybe a different story today. Mark Methot, imagine if they didn't sign Mark Methot.
Right.
And obviously, if Mark Methot wasn't signed, he would have been traded. But there's a big difference right now in Ottawa with Mark Methot in the lineup and the way he's playing with Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson is the best player in the NHL point-wise since February the 10th. So it's not only Andrew Hammond, the goaltender. There's other players on that group who are stepping up. And it's just amazing to see what the Senators are doing right now, how far they're going to go. Obviously, the Bruins are in a way collapsing at this point of the season. And but it's Ottawa is a special team. And tonight, I mean, versus the Rangers, this is going to be maybe a first-round possibility between those two teams. And I think it's going to be a classic tonight. It's going to be a physical game because you need to leave everything on the ice. The Ottawa Senators, they have no choice. And at the same time, the Rangers, they didn't want to look bad versus Ottawa, that's for sure.
That's going to be an interesting goaltending matchup tonight. You've got Cam Talbot. Talbot's on a 14-3-3-1 run for the Rangers, and you already talked about Andrew Hammond. Ren, where did all these goalies come from? You know, it used to be that we used to say every team needs at least one good goaltender. There are a lot of teams with two good goaltenders, and there are a lot of backups who've played pretty substantial roles this year in the success of teams. What explains this sudden, you know, this emergence of guys like Cam Talbot and Andrew Hammond?
You know what? They're older. They're older, and that's for me. The biggest difference. A guy like Hammond is not 24.
He's 27.
Not 23. Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly that. And all the goaltenders that I've talked to in the last few years always told me, Renaud, you're never going to see what the typical goaltender, is he going to be good or not? You're going to know it around 26, 27 years old. Obviously, there's those superstars and those special players like Carey Price. But Carey Price is not 22 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's better today because he's closer to 27, 28, 29 years old. And that's a major difference. And it doesn't really matter where you're going to play before that. Obviously, is it going to be in the NHL or in the AHL? Olaf Kolzig, I was talking to him, and he was the first goaltender who told me that a few years ago. He said, you know what? Look at myself. Look at my record. Played in and out. Mm-hmm. In the NHL, but it's really at 27 years old that he was a number one goaltender in the NHL, and he played 60 games plus for the first time in his career, and he was 27 years old. Look at Tim Thomas, even older in Tim Thomas' case. He arrived in the NHL and was able to be a number one goaltender at 31 years old or 30 years old. So that's really late. And sometimes I think, Jeff, we're forgetting one thing. We forgot that a goaltender is not like a forward. You need more time. It's not like Sidney Crosby coming in at 18 years old, or all those kids coming in. Same thing with those defensemen. I know in Florida with Ekblad, they have an unbelievable player right now at 19. But it doesn't matter. For goaltenders, it's way different. And for me, Cam Talbot's got experience in the NHL, and now he's finding his place, and he's able to show the league that he's a number one contender. Same thing with Andrew Hammond, it's his first chance in the NHL, but you know what? He's older than those 22, 23-year-old coming in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think the league is rushing a lot of players because they're cheap at 19, 20, 21, but at the end of the day, goaltending, there's no secret. You need to play a lot, and you need to play in the NHL.
And, Ren, I know that might be – I know you're a big supporter of Jonathan Bernier, and there might be a lesson there. There might be a lesson there for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they decide what to do with their goaltending.
For sure, Jeff. And it will be a huge mistake to say to Jonathan Bernier, we don't want you anymore. And you know what? If the Maple Leafs are doing that, there'll be a lot of teams calling and say, hey, I want Jonathan Bernier because – He's getting there. It was a tough season for all the Maple Leafs players. But you know what? The bottom line is Jonathan Bernier is a fighter. Second of all, he's got skills and he's a leader. That's exactly what you want if you're looking at a goaltender that you want to. And you know what? I don't know what exactly the Leafs are going to do. But I'll be surprised if they trade him, to be honest with you, because they know what they have. They're aware of all the problems in Toronto. And I'm not sure that the goaltending is a number one priority right now because they know that Jonathan is there to help that team. And he loves the Maple Leafs and he wants to play for them and win with them. So let's give the guy a give him a break and see what's going to happen in the next few years. But I think Jonathan Bernier is going to make Maple Leafs proud next season and maybe in 2 years. So don't worry about what's going to happen with him. I'm convinced that everybody's going to forget that season pretty quickly.
You know, we'll see the Florida Panthers in town tonight against the Leafs. We'll have the game of Sportsnet 590 Defend. The Panthers are 5 points back with nine games remaining. That loss to Tampa really, really hurt their playoff chances, didn't it? They're up 3-2, and then that turned into a 4-3 loss. I think that almost killed their chances, didn't it?
Yeah, obviously, yes. But when you talk to the Panthers and the management there, Dale Talon said, you know what, they think they overachieved this season in a way. That's their reality. They have so many young players, but they have a goaltender like Roberto Luongo who can make a difference. Now, obviously, with injuries, that didn't help. The timing wasn't really good, let's be honest with that. But at the end of the day, this is a good group of young players, and they're knocking. They're close. They're really close. But I was kind of surprised to see that trade with Jaromir Jagr coming in. And I know Dale, what he told me is, I know he can teach my young players to be how to be a real pro, how to train in the gym, what to do on the ice. And that's why he decided to make that trade. And now he wants to sign him for next season. It's going to be interesting to see what Jaromir Jagr wants. But you know what? If you look at this decision, I was not really impressed that he gave a second-round pick for him and a third-round pick. But at the end of the day, he thinks that next draft is not going to be deep. So that's one of the reasons he decided to make that trade. And if he wants to bring Jagr for another season, I think it's going to help, not necessarily with wins, but teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important lesson right now. I think assistant coaches and coaches, there's so much they can do. But a player is going to be, he needs inspiration. And those young kids that are coming in to see Jaromir Jagr, the way he is and the way he puts time in a gym and on the ice, yes, he's right. I think Dale is totally right. this is good for a young team.
And the one thing you know about Jágr as well is even as he continues to age, he is still, you could still use him on your second power play unit. You can still use him in specialty situations.
Yeah.
He's not going to complain. And he's really, it's interesting. He is, I mean, he's a guy, you know, at one point, Ren, you know as well as anybody, at one point, people kind of wondered what type of a teammate he was. And now he's turned into one of the grand old men of the game. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, because he decided to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before, it was all about him. Now, it's more about not only him, but he's a teacher down there. He's a teacher. And I don't know if you remember, but when he was a Boston Bruins member, after some games, he was still in the gym for hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hours. I remember him the night before an important game, going back to the TD Garden and just skate for an hour from 11 p.m. to midnight. So when you see a player doing that, you know one thing. If he's out there at 11 p.m., he didn't have much drink.
Right.
And he was not going out after. Like, he was thinking about himself, what he needs to do to help the team win. He was playing with injuries, I remember, with the Flyers and with the Bruins during the playoffs. Didn't help. But at the end of the day, he's showing the world that he's a different man, a different person, that he thinks differently. I think going back home in the KHL, open his eyes and he realized that he needs to go back in the NHL and leave a different opinion when he's going to retire than if he was gone maybe 5-10 years ago. I don't know. He would have still be a Hall of Famer, but I don't think we'll be have this discussion, you and I, today about him.
Ren, it's great to talk to you as always. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Thanks, Jeff.
It's Ren Lavoie of TVA Sports. He was in Ottawa doing a piece for TVA Sports on the Senators. The New York Rangers, a fascinating matchup tonight. And the Senators, really, again, I was thinking about this driving in today and how, in a lot of ways, this has been one of the better hockey seasons for Canadian teams that I can remember. I mean, Leafs aside, the Canadians have 100 points. Carey Price has got to be the odds-on favorite for the Hart Trophy and the Vezina Trophy. The Senators, a surprising run at the playoffs, something I don't think too many of us saw coming, with Andrew Hammond, this kid that's come out of nowhere to capture the hearts of a city. The Winnipeg Jets, a going concern in the West. The Calgary Flames, a great story. The Edmonton Oilers, you know, they're still the Oilers, but they appear, or it appears as if they may have found their coach. And then the Vancouver Canucks are just kind of there. I don't think anybody expects the Canucks to win the Stanley Cup, but they seem to be a team, a much happier, a much more comfortable team than in recent years. And it really makes you think, that the Canucks are just on the cusp of perhaps putting together another pretty good run. I mean, the only outlier in all this, for the most part, has been the Leafs. I mean, at least the Edmonton Oilers have started to play better hockey, and they can see the way out of the tunnel. The Leafs, I mean, the Leafs are pulling U-turns inside a tunnel right now, hitting the sides of the tunnel. But everything else, as far as Canadian NHL teams go, looks good, or looks better than we thought it would look. We appreciate Ren Lavoie joining us. The Boston Bruins have a big game tonight. They're the flip side of the Ottawa Senators. They're a point back of the Senators. The Senators also have a game in hand, and that is for the final East wildcard spot. Just hasn't gone right for the Bruins this year from the start of the year. I think when Johnny Boychuk was dealt, that was a sign that things weren't going to go right. They play the Anaheim Ducks tonight. They're on an 0-3-2 run, the Bruins are, in their last five games. That includes a shootout loss to Buffalo. Could the Bruins actually miss the playoffs? Lyndon Byers is co-host of the Hillman Morning Show on WAAF 97.7, 107.3 in Boston. Lyndon Byers will join the Jeff Blair Show when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm going to find you. I'm going to get you, get you, get you, get you one way or another. I'm going to win you. I'm going to get you, get you, get you, get you one.
You can never have too many One Direction covers. Someday I'll tell you the story about how I was invited into Blondie's tour bus and didn't go. We'll have to tell that story sometime. I'm not doing it now. It's a really catchy song. It's really not... It's not going to be the same without Zayn Malik and One Direction. Anyhow, Lyndon Byers, co-host of the Hillman Morning Show.
Jeff Blair, my man joining us. North.
How are you?
Doing, buddy?
Who's your favorite member of One Direction?
What do you... Zayn!
You know about it, right?
Oh, it's crazy. Little girls cutting themselves.
It's awful.
I'm freaking out. I'm like, what's wrong with parents these days? It's nuts. I guess I don't remember it back when I was growing up. I mean, I saw the Beatles stuff, but other than that, I guess I lived through the New Kids on the Block.
Yeah,
I was bummed for my buddy Joey Mack. You know, Joey McIntyre out of the gig because the boys split up.
Yeah,
everybody's all famous again and doing well, but. Yeah, I hope you don't have a daughter that's distraught.
Oh, I do. I do. I was telling the story at the start of the show. I get this text message from her in school yesterday in caps, and it's all about Zayn leaving the band. And could I go on Facebook and check? I was like, wow. But yeah, it's I was thinking about this. It seems like everybody that I liked ended up dying. You know, like Lynyrd Skynyrd, the plane crash with Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Right?
Joe Strummer passed away. Now, The Clash broke up. The Clash are my all-time favorite band. But when they broke up, Linda, we just accepted it because that was the punk rock thing to do, right? Was just break up.
Exactly. Everybody goes there. They're tired of fighting and losing their minds every night, and you expect the breakup. Now, I don't want to kill Gordon Lightfoot if he's not dead, but is Gordon Lightfoot still with us? Because I'm a huge fan.
Gordon Lightfoot is still with us, yes.
He's still cranking out the Wreck of the Fitzgerald. Okay.
Yeah, everything's good in that end. Speaking of breaking up, Lyndon, look, the Bruins are what? They're 0-3-2 going into this game against Anaheim. There's been a lot of talk all year that if this team doesn't make the playoffs, there are going to be some major changes.
Yes.
For some of us, those of us who live in a city where the playoffs never happen, it seems like a bit of an overreaction on the part of Bruins ownership. Do you think it would be an overreaction?
Well, I think blowing it up is a term that I don't think is used. If Edmonton didn't blow it up this year, then nobody's ever blowing it up this year.
Right.
I mean, for all the top picks that they've had and the struggles they've had, if they haven't blown it up, I think, yes, I promise you, if they don't make the playoffs, there will be changes. If you think by blowing it up, sending Milan Lucic to Edmonton to add toughness and leadership to the young guys that are left there for the young guys that we get back, is that blowing it up? They're not going to dismantle this team. But in the world of the salary cap era, you have to live with it. You know, like I tell everybody, we wouldn't be having this conversation if they did what they were supposed to do last year and was go to a Stanley Cup final. Whether you win or lose, that's not here nor there. I don't think, people are satisfied with spending the salary cap and making it to a Stanley Cup championship and giving yourself a chance. They didn't. You know, they I think this group has not rebounded since that whooping last year. So yes, there will be changes, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not going to count these guys out. The cards are on the table, and I think, Jeff, would you agree with me? Whenever these guys have their backs against the wall and the world's against them, they always seem to pull one out of their ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one thing about this team, in some ways, they're a lot like the Kings. I don't start looking where they are in the standings until the final week of the season.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. That's kind of when it starts. I mean, the only thing I would say is, I mean, you know, God bless him. The Ottawa Senators, you want to talk about pulling stuff out of your ass right now. It's horseshoe after horseshoe with those guys.
Well, the Andrew Hammond story is such a great story. And I don't know why everybody's surprised. And I don't think they're pulling it out. I think what Ottawa did is what every team does when the first round of the game, one of the first round of the playoffs begins. They knew that they were out. They were 12, 14 points back, and so this kid put a couple games together. Some momentum started going. Some guys started having fun. I mean, Peugeot and Kyle Turris is playing phenomenal. Look at even Carlson. Like right now, he's back. I think he's back in the Norris Trophy conversation for how he's playing. So now that they get on this roll, I really think that they played really hard. I'm really happy that it didn't, you know, that they didn't, you know, again, that's something that, you know, what if Ottawa would have got rid of their leadership and their veteranship? I don't think this run would have happened. You know, you've got a great mix and you've got a goaltender that's playing out of his mind. The only problem with that is it's tough enough for a goaltender to carry a team in a four playoff series bout. And now you're basically making it, two sets of playoffs. And that's a tough thing to ask, but I wish them well. It's a great story. It's a great hockey story. It's great for Canada. You know, Jeff, I'm sure everybody up there must be just buzzing about the fact that Canada and their NHL teams are back in the mix and the conversation. You know,
with the exception of one team.
well, we don't – listen, they've been kicked around. I can't kick it now. I can't kick them while they're down anymore. They've got an off season that it's going to fall on Brendan Shanahan's shoulders, and the Leafs know that they got to get their act together from the top, first, and then start working their way down before they can expect a young guy like Kadri to respect people above them that have no idea or what that, you know, there's no mission statement there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how do you follow a mission statement when there isn't one? We know it runs downhill, but you know, Winnipeg's a great story. Vancouver, you know, back, you know, it's the year of the comeback backup goalie, which is it's just fun, man. And I hope my Bruins get there.
What's the status of Dougie Hamilton?
He's banged up, bud. It's a shoulder injury, whether it is a subluxation or an AC. If you're familiar, a sublux, a sublux means your the ball of your shoulder comes out and goes back in. An AC is there's a ligament in the top of your shoulder that connects your two bones, your collarbone and your shoulder. You can play with that. That's a pain issue. If it's an AC thing, they're giving them some time to rest. They're icing it. You can shoot it up and play with that. If it's a subluxation, they're not gonna risk. You know, an AC separation is no big deal. A shoulder subluxation is a big deal for what you want to be your superstar in the future. So if it's the latter, then I bet they're gonna shelf him.
That's a lot of minutes you've got to pick up if you're trying to make the playoffs, let alone have success in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we all know there's no secret to the Boston Bruins' issues right now. They have no back end.
Right.
They've got Zdeno Chara, who I believe is playing banged up. I believe he's sucking it up. I think it's one of those things that he's going to play as long as he can. He's a big warrior, and it's something that maybe they'll fix it in the offseason. You know, maybe it didn't. It re-injured or, you know, because something else wasn't strong enough, something else got re-injured. And Dennis Seidenberg just hasn't found his stride after a major injury. I don't think there's any lack of heart with those two guys, but if you're not, Seidenberg plays so physical, and if you can't play physical, you're not playing physical, it's not going to work. You know, people don't stand open in front of the net on Dennis Seidenberg, and they're getting it done this way. And then you've got Trotman, Barkowski, he's all over the place. His thing is execution, and half the time he can't get it done. So if you're playing the Boston Bruins, if and when they make the playoffs, all you're going to do is dump it in and make the D scramble and make them be accountable.
Yeah, people tend to underestimate how important Dennis Seidenberg's been to that team, don't they?
Yes, Dennis. When Dennis Seidenberg is healthy and playing, 90% or better in his game, he is. You know, he plays so quiet; he'd never be in a Norris conversation. But he is so steady. He never gives up, second chances on rebounds. Goalies, you know, Tuukka feels so much comfortable. He knows he has to make one save and not worry about somebody slapping a rebound in. he's very good, and he's being missed. He's not playing well at all. Not playing well at all.
Lyndon, it was great of you to join us this morning, as always. Thanks so much.
Jeff, great to talk to you. And remember, it's a teachable moment with your daughter. Let her know.
I will.
That he's not dead. He's going to go on to do single albums and make millions and millions of dollars.
And in the meantime, somebody else will join the group, or they'll finish out their tour. And they always have Harry Styles, so it really doesn't matter. As long as you got Harry Styles, you're golden.
You got it dialed in, kid. Way to work.
All right, take care. That's Lyndon Byers, co-host of the Hillman Morning Show. In Boston, and really one of our favorites. And Hillman Morning Show, by the way, is on WAAF 97.7, 107.3 in Boston. He is as funny on the air and being interviewed as he was to talk to after a game. He really was there are some guys whose personalities change when they get out of the game. You know, it's amazing how many guys are dogs when they play the game, and then they become experts as soon as they get out of the game. Lyndon Byers was a guy that always had a good sense of humor and was always enjoyable to talk to after the game. We appreciated him joining us. One of the few people that could probably talk about One Direction with any degree of expertise. Sportsnet, the magazine, has its baseball issue, its MLB preview issue, now available on the Sportsnet magazine app and next issue. And if you're a subscriber, it'll be arriving in subscriber mailboxes today. There's a lot of copy. Stephen Brent has a terrific cover story on Russell Martin that gets you behind the scenes with Russell Martin and his family. It is a terrific piece. I'm just going through it right now. Lots of background on his life, and he is really an interesting guy. He's lived an interesting life. He's an eclectic guy. And I've often said that if you can play for teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees, if you can play in those two markets and somehow, you know, keep it all together, you've done a pretty good job. And Russell Martin's basically, everybody matures, everybody changes, but Russell Martin's still kind of the same down-to-earth guy he was. Certainly when I first interviewed him, when he was like it was his first year at Dodgers camp, and Jim Tracy, who was their manager, I was there doing a story on Eric Gagne, and Jim Tracy was their manager, and he said, you know, you're going to be coming back to do a story on this kid at some point. And it was Russell Martin. Jim Tracy was a big, big fan of his. So Brunt's cover story on Russell Martin is terrific. There's a lot of information in here, including baseball's next breakout star. There's an article in Bryce Harper, the Tampa Bay Rays, the team in the American League East, and a lot of us are wondering where the offense is going to come from, and the Giancarlo Stanton contract the Miami Marlins signed with their superstar in the offseason. Ben Nicholson-Smith is baseball editor at Sportsnet.ca. He has written those articles. It's a large part of this this terrific package, I must say. And Ben Nicholson-Smith will join us in studio when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.